Well, we are being joined. I'm Luke. I'm one of the pastors. I'm here in Rolling Meadows this holiday weekend. It's a holiday, and you made it to church, so congratulations. And we're here in Rolling Meadows gathered around. We have just completed the very highest thing that a human being is capable of, ascribing worth to Jesus Christ for who he is and what he's done. Is the very best of what we've done. And he has inhabited the praises of his people this morning, and he is delighted with our worship and our praise. If you have a Bible, get it in your hand right now. If you have a Bible, get it in your hand. I hope you do. This is Harvest Bible Chapel. That's our middle name. And so we'd have little interest in human wisdom and a lot of interest in the wisdom that we find in this book. And we are starting a brand new series today from the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. And the series is called The Whole Thing. And that is because, as we are going to learn from Hebrews chapter 11 this month, faith is not a part of the Christian life. It's the whole thing. Faith is the way, the funnel, the door that leads to all the other things that God wants to do in and through us. So we're going to study the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 this month. And we're going to look at the first three verses right now. And if you could turn your attention to the screen or to the Bible in front of you, we're going to read them all together. And we're going to read God's word in just a moment. We're going to read it with gusto because it is better news than any touchdown or celebration that the world has ever seen. We're going to read it together. If you're ready, say on all campuses, say, I'm ready. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance, come on church, it's hope for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can take a seat. You can take a seat. We are in God's word now. This is the whole thing. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. There's three things that you're going to see, I believe, in these three verses that are going to inspire your faith, past, present, and future. Faith, we have defined for many years here at Harvest, is this. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Faith is not a part of the Christian life. Faith is the whole thing. And immediately, the church person says, well, what about love? Yes, Paul described love as the greatest of all things, but faith is the pathway that leads to love. If it was a meal, love is the primary ingredient, but faith is the oven. If it was a car, love is the engine and the steering wheel, but faith is the key in the ignition and the gas pedal. It's the doorway, it's the funnel. Faith is the thing that leads to all the other things. The title of this message is The Visible Invisible. So look there at verse 1, where it says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of things not seen. The book of Hebrews, we don't know the original writer. Some think it's the Apostle Paul. We are not certain, but the book of Hebrews appears to have originally been written as a sermon to be read aloud. And Hebrews chapter 11 contains what is known as the Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Heroes of the faith. It is filled with stories of people that have come before and what faith made an impact in their life. Hebrews was written to the Jewish nation, those who had professed faith in Christ, but were falling back into works-based religion. Works-based religion is every religion on the planet other than true faith in Jesus Christ. It is, what do I need to do to earn right standing, to earn favor, to gain love from the God of heaven? But faith in Jesus is not about what we do. Faith in Jesus is what has already been done. This is so important and significant to us. So as we talk about faith, we must understand that it is not about believing in my potential or my destiny or my gifts or my resources. No, faith is believing in what God has done, is doing, and will do. So we see here in verse 1, a common way of writing Hebrew poetry, two things, two phrases said the same idea but said in two slightly different ways. First, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That word assurance in the original language means firm ground or a steady spot, a certainty not based on appearance. So read it that way. Faith is the firm ground. Faith is the steady spot of things that are being hoped for. Anybody show up today with some things that they're hoping for at church? Anybody show up at church today with some things that they're hoping for? I'm not talking about I'm hoping that the Cubs start winning more games, or I'm hoping that there's no rain for the fireworks. Not easy temporal things like that. I'm talking about the deep stuff. That relationship that needs to be healed. That business deal that seems impossible to close. That wayward child that it seems will never come home. And all of us arrive at church today with hope about different things that are ahead. Hope is looking into the future with a confident expectation of something better in store. And so the certain ground, the steady spot where faith is formed, the certain spot and the steady ground where hope is formed is through faith. That is why if you're filling in the blanks, the first blank is future faith, that is faith about the future, cultivates hope. In the same way that when you plant a seed and water the seed and put it in direct sunlight and make sure that weeds stay out of its way, you're cultivating a plant. In that same way, faith is the thing that cultivates hope in your heart about the future. So, back to the text. First phrase, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the firm ground of the steady spot. The second phrase, it is the conviction of things not seen. That word conviction is a certainty which leads to behavior. A conviction is more than a belief. A conviction is more than information that I agree with. A conviction is knowledge that leads to action. The difference between agreeing it's a bad idea to eat junk food and not actually eating the junk food, that is where conviction starts. So it's a conviction about things that we can't see. Now, you and I live in the world, in a time in history, all of us now joined together on every campus, we live in a time in history where the premium is placed on facts, on reason, on the scientific method, on rationalism, on the young kids say to each other, picture or it didn't happen. We live in a time in the world where all emphasis is placed on the only things that we can know are true are the things that we can see. If I can't see it, it must not be real. We live in a world where unless there's video proof, there is scientific evidence, then it must not be true. But what this text is going to suggest to us a couple of times is that there is more out there, friends. There is more out there than just what we can see. There is more happening in your life right now than just the sum total of the facts that you can line up. There is more happening than just what you can measure or pay attention to. And so even though science would say that there isn't anything other than what we can measure, even though rationalism would tell us if you can't explain it with details and facts, it isn't real, there is a conviction that leads to behavior that can come from believing there is more out there right now than just what I can see. And people who think in this way, like this rationalism or this certain way of thinking, you know what they'll often say? They'll say faith is a crutch. Faith in God is the way that you emotionally deal with facts that you don't like. Have you ever heard this before? I would say to you, faith is not a crutch. Faith is a reality. Faith is the facts of the spiritual realm. When I have seen what God has done in the past and have confidence in what He is doing in the present, I am certain about what He will do in the future. And so faith is not a crutch, faith is a certainty in a reality. But the fact remains, we can't always see. That's what this verse is saying. Faith is the assurance, the steady ground of the things that I'm hoping for. Faith is a certainty about things that I can't see. Because there, and we'll see it in all the stories that we're going to look at in Hebrews 11 this month, there's this big gap of time often between God's promise and God's provision. God says to Noah, build a boat, and then a few hundred years go by. The way that he makes it through is faith. God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, but his wife can't even have one baby, and so faith is the thing that he is holding between. That's faith is the substance that I hold between God's promise and God's provision. Faith is the substance that I hold between God's promise and God's provision. This is so important. This is the faith in the future that cultivates hope in my heart. The way that I can have a confident expectation of better days ahead is by holding on to faith. It's believing in the Word of God, continuing to act upon it, even when I don't feel like it, because I believe that there's a good result on its way. But most of life is not the promise or the provision. Most of life is the in-between. And the in-between is when faith is so critical. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it, the people of old received their commendation. Commendation is reward. So the people of old, they received their reward through faith. Now note that faith is not a wistful longing for something good to maybe happen in an uncertain future. Faith is a certainty in supernatural facts. If you want assurance, if you want conviction, well, grow your faith. Here's why. Not only does faith in the future cultivate hope, secondly, past faith secures rewards. Past faith secures rewards. Look at the second verse. It says that by faith, the people of old received their commendation. So to understand this verse, you have to understand the difference between how people received salvation before Jesus Christ came to the earth and how people received Jesus Christ afterwards. So all of us, we are after Jesus Christ. We are living in the era of grace. And so we live under 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Faith is the way in which we receive salvation, but it is faith looking for us. It is faith looking to the past in what Jesus has already done and looking to the future and believing that he is coming back. But in the Old Testament, they had no past to look back to. They only had the future. In the Old Testament, the whole first big chunk of the book that we read, before Jesus Christ came on the scene, the people didn't look back at Jesus Christ as historical fact. They looked forward and believed that at some time in the future, there was a Messiah that would come. As Genesis chapter 3 starts the promise from Adam and Eve, starts this promise that there would be a Messiah who would come and take away the sin of the people. And so it says that the people of old, the way that they received their reward, that's what it says in this text, the way that they received their reward was by faith. This is maybe best seen in the book of Genesis, chapter 15 and verse 6. It's the story of Abraham. And in the story of Abraham, we'll hear about him in the weeks to come, God made some promises to Abraham. And it says that in Genesis 15, 6, that Abraham believed God, and it was counted or credited, it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham's standing with God was permanently altered by one thing only, him believing that God's promises would one day come to pass. And for you and for me, living in the world today, it is also true that our faith in what God will do in the future and our obedience to him in the present also secures rewards. Although it includes the reward of eternal life, there is more just than that. I would suggest to you that faith is the 401k of heaven, if you will. It's the place you store heavenly reward. And sometimes we forget so easily that our obedience in the past has already stored up for us treasures in heaven. It has already stored up for us an eternal reward in God's economy that can never be taken away. There's a couple ways that we see this and we know it. One of them is simply this. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, which I would encourage you to study it some this month, we're going to be preaching through it every week. Hebrews chapter 11 is the who's who, the highlight reel of the Christian faith. But I got to tell you that there are people that make their way into Hebrews 11 and are lifted up as heroes that I got to tell you, if I was in charge, they would have never made the cut. There were people that we'll hear their stories in the weeks to come, that find their place in the pages of Hebrews 11 and are commended for their faith, oftentimes for several isolated incidences of believing God and obeying him. And sometimes we think that sometimes we can be lulled into thinking that the heroes of faith had this perfect, lifelong, never wavering faith. Because true faith in the past secures rewards in the future. Sometimes we overlook so many of these people had foolishness in their life, great patches of their life of foolishness, but their faith in God at certain critical junctures secured rewards for them. Abraham is lifted up as a hero of the faith. There was that whole weird thing where he pretended that his wife was his sister, and some stuff after that happened. Jacob is lifted up as a hero of faith, but his life was marked by deceit over and over again. Moses is lifted up as a hero of faith, but he very quickly after believing in God decided to murder someone. Samson is lifted up as a hero of faith, his life defined by sexual sin and lack of self-control. David is lifted up as a hero of the faith, yet he was a murderer and an adulterer. The point is that their obedience at a given time secured their heavenly reward, no matter what came and followed. And so today, I wonder how many people are in church today, and they've lost hope in the prayers of the past. They've lost hope in the obediences of the past. They've lost hope in the promises claimed in the past. And you just need to know today that if you have obeyed God, when you have obeyed God, when you have chosen to believe and trust in him, no matter how you felt because God promised a good result, you need to know that you have stored up for yourself treasures in heaven that nothing can ever, ever, ever take away. Every single obedience stores up a reward. That's what the people of old were commended for their faith in the past. But so often, we forget about that. The long season where we prayed and nothing happened, the season of faithfulness to a spouse, the season of choosing to do exactly what God wanted us to do, the long patterns of obedience always secure reward, ultimately. Past faith secures rewards. And the reason why this is such great news is because so often in your life and in mine, there's a promise of a reward, and then the rules get changed and we don't get it. Like when it comes to tax refund time, as an example. Have you ever noticed how when you owe something to the government, you put the check in the mailbox, and like 15 minutes later, it's been deposited and taken out of your bank account? This is picked up by a drone, or I don't know how they did that. But then when Uncle Sam owes you a couple bucks, it's like the rest of your life, and you're still waiting for it to come in the mail. Am I telling the truth in church today? Anybody? Yeah. It's most of you had that look of it's too painful to bring up on your face. I know. Nobody likes that feeling. It was set up a certain way, but it changed. It's crazy. Now today in the world that we live in, there's all kinds of people who work in jobs or careers where they were promised a pension. And we're going to take this much out of your paycheck, and then someday this is going to happen. And then a bunch of people come along, spend all the money on something else, and then come along and say, oh, yeah, sorry, was that the deal that we made? We're changing it. Have you ever had that experience where you're watching a TV show, and you're getting like super emotionally invested, and then the show gets canceled? It's like, I'm going to live the rest of my life and never know if they ever got together and fell into perfect true love. So I hate when that happens. The rewards of heaven are never canceled. The rewards of heaven are never deferred and not paid. The rewards of heaven are never bankrupted. All faith, all obedience, all choices to trust God and act upon it, no matter how we feel, because God promises a good result, secure heavenly rewards that can never, ever, ever be taken away. Heaven is not on the verge of going bankrupt. Heaven is not going to get canceled. Heaven is not going to pay way late. No, no, no. The people of old all received, verse 2, their commendation from God because of their faith, their obedience in the past. So it's going to happen, you know? Even if you struggle today or this month or this year, the reward for your obedience and faith will be yours. Even if you disobey God, the reward is still yours. You will suffer for your disobedience, But because of your obedience, the reward is already yours. Even if you get distracted, even if you forget, even if you become discouraged, even if it doesn't even register in your mind anymore, all the times that you've prayed, all the times that you've obeyed, your reward in heaven is secured. True faith secures rewards in the future. Past faith secures rewards. Look with me now at the third verse. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Future faith cultivates hope. Present faith ensures vision. Thirdly, past faith secures rewards. And then the last one is present faith ensures vision. Present faith ensures vision. Look at this. This is wonderful. This text is wonderful. Look at this verse. It says that by faith, so we've defined that, by faith, we understand. To understand is more than just knowing the facts. It's like wisdom. It's become part of the bloodstream of my life and my lifestyle. By faith, I understand that the universe was created by the word of God, flat out. The world that we're living in, the sunshine and the sunsets and the stars and the mountains and the polar bears, all of that was created not by, you know, like an explosion, and then there was some slime, and the slime made itself a brain and became onto the next thing. Not anything like that. No, the universe, every single aspect of the world that we are living in, was created in a singular moment where Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It wasn't God said, "Let there be light," and then it buffered. It wasn't God said, "Let there be light," and then you have to like watch the YouTube ad and then click, and then you can see the light. It wasn't God said, "Let there be light," and it got that wheel of death thing when your computer's thinking. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Now note that the faith is a gift from God. We are not more enlightened people because we can look at the universe and see that God created it. Those who can't see that are blinded by sin. But this is the part that's important, because we can know, because by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, the second part, so what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So, if creation came from an invisible cause, which is God said, "Let there be light," then also my current situation has an invisible solution. That's what this is saying. So what is seen, present, so what I'm looking at right now didn't come just from things that are visible. This is a life-changing reality, because faith releases us from forming worldly solutions to eternal problems. Faith releases us from forming worldly solutions to eternal problems. You see, because I understand by faith that the universe was made by the word of God, I also understand that the things that I'm dealing with right now, the things that are right in front of me, the situations that I'm facing, the choices that I have in front of me right now, also are more than just what I can see or the sum total of everything around me. You see, if the only thing that can come from the doctor is the sum total of a couple of tests, and then that's it. If the only thing that can come financially is the inevitable consequences and rewards of the things I've already chosen, if the only thing that can happen with my children is whatever I've already done, if there's only worldly solutions to worldly problems, there's not much to have hope about. But because the universe came from the word of God, it is also true that what I can see right now can be dealt with, can be solved, can be miraculously healed or fixed or saved also by the very same words of God. Because the word of God has three definitions in Scripture, and this one here is the third one. The word of God, when we hear it, can be speaking about the book. This is the word of God that we hold in our hands, but this isn't that. It can also be speaking about the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was what was Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. That's not that. This is the third thing. The Word of God sometimes is speaking of God acting in creation. So in the same way that God's words made the whole universe around us, God's words also are here right now and involved in what we can see. There is more in front of us than just what is visible. So maybe today you're here and you're like, to be honest, when you were preaching, Luke, about past faith, I got to tell you, there hasn't been a lot of past faith in my life. There's been a lot of trusting in myself, but there hasn't been a lot of past faith. You have a wonderful opportunity in front of you today that your faith today in the problems of today, your faith in the present can ensure that you see clearly. Present faith ensures vision, means that you can see clearly that the problems that you are facing right now are not just worldly problems. They are problems that have eternal solutions. Now, let's be clear. Don't ever go to the doctor, church. Right? This is not, don't go to a mechanic. But worldly problems oftentimes have solutions from the world that God has made and also eternal solutions. This is what we've been learning here at Harvest. It's go to the doctor and also get on your knees and pray. That's what the faithful person does. The person filled with faith takes their car to the mechanic and also gets on their knees and pray and says, God, I can't afford another expensive thing. The person who is in faith makes every single phone call to every single potential client they can possibly think of and also gets on their knees and says, God, if you don't help, nothing is going to happen. It sees the problems that are right in front of us right now, not just with worldly eyes, but also with eternal eyes. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now, this whole thing here bubbles up this little bit of attention, because as you start to talk about having faith, grow in your faith, reach out in faith. Immediately, the person who studied God's word for very long was, well, what about, I thought it's about grace. I thought it's not about what we can do to earn it or something. It's by grace you've been saved, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. So what I'm saying here, what this text is teaching us, is not that faith is something that we should work harder to try to attain. The faith is also a free gift from God. Faith is not something that you train for and try to get better at. Faith is something that you pray to God for and He gives to you as a gift. The faith to get out of bed and get over to church today to listen from God's word, that is faith that God put into your heart and to mine. And so what we're saying here is if you have a tax bill, you should pay it. If you have a problem with looking at junk on the internet, you should throw your iPad in the pool. If you have a broken relationship, you should text somebody before you're even on your way home and say, I know that this thing is broken, but can we try again? Because like this next part we're going to see in the text next week, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so my faith in the future ahead, in the present right now, and my faithful obedience in the past, all of it together is the only way to please God. So just to be honest, I got to tell you guys, this is the way that it always works. We've been working on these sermons. We're into summertime now. We've been working on these since the middle of May, and we came up with this, kind of prayed and came up with this idea of what we wanted to work on. It's amazing how it always happens that whatever the preachers are preaching about, God is working on them to grow in. It's like, next summer we're going to do a series on what to do when you have more money than you know how to spend. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's just the way that it always seems to play out. Because I got to tell you right now, straight out in my own life, I have a lot of things where I need to act on the word of God, even when I'm not totally feeling it. Like lots of you know, my wife is pregnant right now with a baby girl. We have three boys at home, and they're wild, and they'll be fine no matter what it seems. But nothing brings you your sense of helplessness more than when there's a baby growing inside of someone you love, and there's like literally nothing that you can do other than try not to read all those articles on the internet that freak you out about every possible thing that could go wrong, you know? That takes a lot of faith. There's nothing I can do about it, Lord, and so I trust you. Right now, there's things going on in my life, tons of stuff, relationship kind of things, and with different people. Even this morning, I was really convicted about it last night, so I called a guy on the phone on my way to church today and said, listen, like, I know that we don't see eye to eye on this, but tell me again. Like, I want to listen. It takes faith to do that. Sure didn't feel like it. I felt like telling him a few things. So my family and I, we've got some things we're working on, some financial things, and And then just all the normal stuff of life and ministry and people and friends. And I'm telling you, right now, every single thing inside of me, I can tell you for the very first time last week, for the very first time in my whole life, I was preaching out in Elgin. And for the very first time in my life, I got in my car and I like didn't want to go. I mean, I've been to church like 20 times a week for my whole life. So this is a lot of chances that I've had to not want to. For the first time, I just was like, I don't want to go. Maybe I can get somebody else to preach. Because I just had all these things, circumstances and stuff just weighing down, pushing down on my shoulders. And I just, you ever have that? Like, I just want to go home and lay on the couch and think about how bad I feel and just kind of wallow in it for a while. Watch TV and take a nap and eat junk food and feel even worse than before. You know how that goes? That cycle. And it was, somebody was praying. I don't know who it was, because I was like, well, I guess I got to go. And that right there, friends, that right there, we all have moments like that. And that right there is where faith goes from something in the sky to something on the pavement, something in real life. Faith is believing in the word of God. Okay, got it? So every word that he says is true. Every promise that he makes will happen. Every time he says don't, it's going to mess things up if I don't. It's going to make things better if I do. Got it? Believing the word of God. Second, it's acting upon it. It's not just saying, I believe that it's true, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. It's doing something about it. Then the third part, this is the part that's so hard for you and for me, no matter how I feel. Wouldn't it be great if we only had to love people on the days where they seemed super lovable? Why though? Because God promises a good result. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. So by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And so if you've done everything that you know to do, that's the point. If you've done everything that you know to do, and you're still not seeing what you want to be seeing, faith. Keep on praying. Keep on trying. Keep on working. Keep on asking. But know that faith is the thing that you're holding to. That's why faith is not a part of the Christian life. Faith is the whole thing. Because faith is the funnel, the door, the way in which everything else that God wants to do in us comes towards us. If my faith grows, my prayers get more frequent. If my faith grows, my worship gets more fervent. If my faith grows, my home becomes a more loving place. If my faith grows, my self-discipline in reaching for God increases. If my faith grows, all of a sudden the words that come out of my mouth are more like the words of Christ and not like the things that I just want to say. When my faith grows, everything gets better. But this is the last thing, like I said, or you got to get this. Faith is not a try harder thing. Faith increases when God gives it. And so if you need more faith, just ask. He wants to give it to you. There's lots more to come. But we start here. Faith is not part of the Christian life. It's the whole thing. Let's bow together. So we say to you today, Lord, we say to you today, Lord, that we trust you completely. Not because our eyes can see everything that you're doing, but we know that you are doing all kinds of things, especially things that we can't see. We say today to you, Lord, that even though everything is not certain for us, we are certain in who you are because of what you've done in the past, what you are doing in the present, and what we know you will do in the future. We say that we trust you completely. Lord, there is no backup plan today for us. If you don't come through, we're going to fall flat on our faces. Lord, we have put all of everything that we've got on you. And so, Lord, help us to have faith. One, that the future is secure because of what you've already done. Two, Lord, help us to have faith that our obedience in the past will be rewarded. And three, Lord, help us to have faith that believing in you right now makes everything that we see get clearer. You are everything that you say you are. We give you all of our hope and trust and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody who agrees says, amen. Let's stand and sing together.